Last week we talked about the way of Cain, and you didn't want to go the way of Cain because he went out from the presence of the Lord and, to our knowledge, never returned. But we have a different person today who was a man of faith, a man that walked with God, and we want to talk about the character Enoch today. And we'll call our message the testimony of faith. And in Genesis chapter 5, verse 18, Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. See, all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Man. I didn't ask you to turn there, but in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, it tells us there, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because he was translated. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word today. I pray that you'd open our heart and our understanding to the truth of Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The testimony of faith. Sister Norm and I were the other day. We're in a restaurant. And if you're wondering how big and bright, it was a fast food place. But as we were sitting there, just across the aisle from us was a woman, and it looked like a mother and two daughters, which it proved to be. All three of them had their Bibles open, and they were discussing Scripture. And so I walked up to them, and you know how I am, kind of, and I said, "You got any good news for me?" They said, "We sure do." I said, then I introduced myself and told them I was a pastor of a church, and I appreciated them sharing the Word of God there, because you see, they had a testimony of faith right there in that place of you know, restaurant. And I thank God that He leaves us with a people with a testimony of faith, and that's what Enoch did. And there is few things about him in Scripture, not a whole lot, but some things about him. We know he is a man that walked with God. We know he is a powerful man of God. Praise the Lord. And Enoch lived in an increasingly wicked society, a society that was on the brink of judgment, much like ours. Soon God would destroy the earth with a flood, amen, and God would bring judgment on the world, and it would be a worldwide thing. You know, you hear a lot about global things today, but I want to tell you, in Noah's day, it was a global judgment, and there will be another one, not with water, but with fire the last time. But now, Enoch, God used Enoch in a powerful way. As a matter of fact, Enoch even moved way ahead. Here he is back in the antediluvian age. This is before the flood. But yet he prophesied some things. Even in the book of Jude, it refers to the apocryphal book of Enoch. And it tells us there in Jude 14 and 15, you say what chapter? There's only one chapter in Jude, so it only has verses. Jude 14, "Now Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Tell you, when Enoch preached, he was after that ungodly crowd, wasn't he? It's mentioned four times there in the 15th verse. And so, he had a testimony of faith. He was a man that walked with God, a man of God that knew God, and knew that it would not always be this way, knew that judgment was coming, warned the people of his day, no doubt, preached to them. And so, he walked with God. And the word walk here in the text in 5:24, it's a Hebrew, helak. Basic meaning of the Hebrew verb translated here as walk is to go or to travel. And so we all know that we like to move, we like to walk and travel. But It refers to a habitual manner of life or a constant relationship with God, living in close relationship with their God in obedience to His commands. That's what walking with God would mean in this passage. But you and I know, friend, that we are on a journey. We're on a spiritual journey, and we need leadership for that journey. We need guidance in this journey of life that we're on. My friend, if you're a born-again believer today, you are on a journey. Yes, this world is not our home. We're only passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. That's a song, not a scripture. But I thank God that we have a journey that we're on, and this journey, as we walk through this life, it has purpose, it has need, it has plan. We're here because God put us here, and we don't have to walk around all the time wondering what we're here for. God put us here because He wants your testimony of faith to shine to this world. He wants people to look at you and know that you live a life of faith. You don't have to put on some show or act weird or strange or anything, but if you're born again of God's Spirit, people will know that you're a believer. Know that you're a Christian, because your life itself is a testimony of faith. First of all, I've already mentioned this more than first, but Enoch walked with God. Let's look at that for a moment. He had a testimony, and people knew him by the lifestyle that he was living. And if you read in the book of Genesis, you see that things did not get better. They got worse. As a matter of fact, by the time of Noah's day, the Bible says all flesh, all people upon the earth had corrupted themselves. And so Noah, I'll preach about him later on. Not later on in this message, just later on in another message. But people today know us by our behavior. We can say we're a member of First Baptist or First Assembly of God or First whatever. Amen. Of some First Church of the Frigid Air if you're cold. But people know us by our behavior, not by what name we call ourselves. They know whether we're saved or not by our lifestyle. And it's not that you have to announce to everybody I'm a Christian, everybody look at me and see how I act. They will know how you are by the way that you live. And Enoch walked against the ungodliness of his day. There were surely ungodly people in his society. And he walked in the fear and the reverence for God, respect for God, and that's the way that we should walk. And today, you and I must have a testimony of faith. And that testimony of faith would be a testimony of love as also. People will know that we're Christians by our love, not love for worldly things, not love for sinful things, but our love for God and love for one another as believers. And Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Amen. And so we love people. We reach out to missions and missions here. We send this gospel all over the world. We have 31 missionaries that we support every month to send this gospel to every tribe, nation, and tongue. It doesn't matter, amen, what culture they are, what color they are, red, yellow, black, blue, and white, however. God loves all people the same, and it's God's will that the gospel will be spread to every person on this planet. Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful that God didn't overlook me and He didn't overlook you. He cared for us. He loves us. And God transfers that love of God to His people so that they will love people the way that God loves them. Praise the Lord. So Enoch had a testimony of faith, and he walked with God. Not a testimony that we're in love with a sinful world, or we're not in love with everyone's behavior. A lot of times the statement is made to you, well, God loves you, and God does. Amen. But God doesn't love everything about us. Amen. But He loves us because He knows we have an eternal soul, and He cares where you spend eternity. He cares about you personally. And blood poured down Calvary's rugged tree that day because He loved you. You can put yourself personally in that place. He prayed on the tree. He prayed for the people that drove spikes into His hands and feet. He prayed for everybody there. He bore my sins, my sorrows. He did every guilt, all the guilt of sin, the shame that I've ever done and been through. Jesus bore it there on Calvary. He received judgment for my sins on the cross so that we wouldn't be eternally judged in a devil's hell. Praise God. And so God doesn't love everything about people's sinful behavior, but he's willing to save people from all sinful behavior if they will come to him. And you and I, we love God. And he loved that, and the Bible, God wants us to love, and God wants us to care, and to be concerned about people's spiritual well-being as well as their eternal well-being. And our walk with God testifies of what we're in love with, as Enoch walked with God, and they knew what he stood for. Secondly, Enoch walked by faith. He was a man of faith. You know, and I've seen people wear hats that says man of faith, and that's good. You know, you and I both have seen some that wore that hat that you didn't really think they were much of a man of faith. They just wore the cap, wore the hat. But we are people of faith. Praise the Lord. Enoch walked by faith because Enoch was a man with a testimony. He had this testimony that he pleased God. What a testimony. And he walked by faith. And the Bible says he walked with God for 300 years here and had sons and daughters. And so he was a man of faith. And the Bible tells us, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. And so God puts the ability in our heart as we're born to have faith in him. Praise the Lord. And Enoch knew that there was more. He just said, God, I just got to keep walking with you. That's not in the Bible. But he did walk with God. That is in the Bible. He kept walking with God. He kept having a relationship with God. He kept living for God. Regardless of what the world did, he was a man of faith. Amen. He walked by faith. His faith, nothing shook his faith. He didn't decide someday I'm going to live for the devil for a little while and I'll get my faith later. He didn't decide that. He walked by faith continually. He was a man of faith. Amen. And he foresaw even the coming of the Lord. And he had no Bible. He had no New Testament doctrine. In the first or second advent of Christ, he didn't know anything about this. But he just knew that he had to walk with God. And he knew that he had to walk by faith. He had to keep believing this God that created him had eternal plans for his soul. And Enoch preached a strong message. And so Enoch was preaching, and I can imagine if Enoch had been preaching in a local church today, and some pastoral search committee from another church had come looking for a pastor because their pastor had resigned, they probably wouldn't have chose Enoch. Because I want to tell you, he laid, pardon an old term, he laid the hammer down when he spoke. And he had faith. He was a man. He walked by faith. He had faith of a judgment coming, knowing that people were not always going to get away with the sinful society and the sinful way of life they were in. And surely he wanted people to repent. Amen. But he had faith that there was a day of judgment coming. And he even prophesied here, even not knowing anything about the first or second comings of Christ. He said, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all the ungodly and all their ungodly deeds, which ungodly sinners have been ungodly before him. And so he knew that God had a plan there to send and make salvation for the world, that he would come. Come with 10,000. This even prophesies of the second coming of Christ when Jesus will come, descend from heaven with a shout. Amen. Second coming of Christ when he comes literally back to the earth, sets his foot on the Mount of Olives, and all the saints of God are going to come with him. That'll be you and I. Praise the Lord. We'd already been raptured 7 years before. And I realize we're still in Revelation. I'm still in Genesis, not Revelation. Okay. But there was a day coming when God was going to wipe out the evil of his day. And Enoch foresaw this. He said, the Lord is coming with 10,000 of his saints. And he's going to bring judgment upon this earth. Friend, can I tell you today, there's still coming a day when God will wipe sin from the earth. Man. And there's a time under the kings that God gives us a picture here of what it would mean to judge a nation. And if you can get the picture here, 2 Kings 21:13, he says, I will stretch out over Jerusalem the measuring line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. Ahab was a wicked king. He said, I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it out and turning it upside down. Man, does that remind you of washing dishes? One day God will wipe everything that's evil out of this earth as one would wipe a dish and turn it upside down. I had a friend. He said that he and his buddy had come home to his buddy's home. His wife was gone. And so there were two freshly made pies there. And his friend, the husband, said, I just got to have a piece of that pie. And of course, his friend was with him. He said, I got to have a piece of that too. So they ate a piece of pie. And his friend said, you know, that kind of that pie, that slice was kind of musty. So I just must have another piece. He and his friend ate the whole pie and washed the dish and put it in the cabinet. Wife came out. I know I made two pies. What happened? But they ended up wiping the dish clean. I don't know if that's going to turn into very good illustration or not. But there's a coming a day on the serious side of this that God would wipe Jerusalem. He would judge them for their sins and their idolatry. One day God will wipe this world of all the filth and the ungodliness and the hurt and the heartache and pain as one would wipe a dish and put it up. But church, we must leave a testimony to this generation. Enoch walked by faith. He left a testimony to this generation and to every generation after him. Here we are, several thousand years, several millenniums later, we're still talking about Enoch and his testimony. And without our testimony, there is no message of deliverance. There is no message of eternal hope, no message of the love of God, and no life at all. But we have testimony here, and our lives can be a testimony of God can change a life. Amen. And people say, well, I want a testimony. I don't have much of a testimony. But let me tell you something. Testimonies don't come without a test. And sometimes God allows us to go through things, and testimony comes out of that, of what God can do, how God can heal, how God can save, how God can deliver, how God can set free. Amen. Most people here in this congregation have a testimony of something that God did in their life, and they have a testimony that came out of a test in their life. Amen. It may have been a near-death experience. It may have been something that God saved you from. Amen. And God knows how many things He saved us from that nearly happened. We didn't even know they were going to happen. Amen. And you faced another car coming down the highway at 70 miles an hour. You're going 70 that way. And you don't know if that person has had too much to drink. If he's had any, he's had too much. And going to run into you, and there's going to be a fatality there. We don't know how many times God has saved us from that. But I want to tell you something. God saves, God keeps His people, and it doesn't mean that nothing will ever happen to us. But if something does happen to us, it will turn out a testimony for God and tell the whole world that I'm living for God, I'm walking with God, I'm on a journey with God, I have an eternal destination, my Lord saved me, and that's my testimony. The life of faith. Praise God. There was no doubt Enoch's faith knew that there was a day of grace for the repentant. There was a day of hope for the godly. And so he lived for God, walked with God. And you and I must walk by faith as well, not by sight, because everything we see doesn't bring us to faith. We see a lot of things out there. We can look at society today and say, I don't have much faith in this society. Let me tell you something. Society's never produced anything to have faith in. Not really. Only God gives something to have faith in, something to believe in. Man, we look at the behavior of people in the world, people that do awful things to each other, we hear over the news. And we think, God, there's no hope for that person, but there is. Who knows that you and I would have been the same way if we had not had God in our life? Man. And we must walk by faith and not by sight. We must know that, God, we're living for you. We're walking with you. We're going to hear from you. Amen. As we daily read the scriptures, the word of God, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. As we continue to fill our minds and our hearts with truth, amen, then it shapes who we are. We're not people of something that's false. We're faith. We're a people of faith, of something that's true, that's real, that's holy, that's right. Amen. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So we're filling our lives. That's what you're doing today. You're filling your life with truth. As you worship God, hear his word, and sing, make melody to the Lord. Number three, Enoch preached against the ungodliness of his day. He preached a coming judgment. Shortly, God would judge the world with a flood. We know that. And yet the world was flooded with ungodliness. We can be certain that Enoch left nothing unsaid, called sin by its name, probably left nothing that he didn't say. You know, and people have said, I can't believe he called that out. He talked about that. Well, you know, somebody's got to identify sin and call it by its name so people know what sin is. God did it. God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. God said, thou shalt not steal. God said, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You know, people don't like to hear it, but the television needs to hear it, and the newscast needs to hear it. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For God will not hold him guiltless that calls his name in vain. Okay? And so we see today that even though no doubt there was a flood of ungodliness in Enoch's day, a flood of irresponsible leadership, parents that, you know, that kept their kids from church, from spiritual instruction. How did I get there? I just read it. But God says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. You know, training teaches people to avoid things and behaviors that will destroy the soul. I used to think my parents were mean because they wouldn't let me do a lot of things that were fun because they considered it sin. And they were wrong on a few things, just the things I thought they were wrong on. And being 15 or 16 years old, I thought I'm very close to, I'll just go out and live by myself somewhere. But when I thought about cooking and mama's food and all that, I thought, yeah, I'll just stay home for a while. But the Bible says to train up a child in the way they should go, to teach them the fear of God, teach them the reverence for God, teach them the scriptures, the word of God, the truth. I'm not talking about making up things, but whatever the word of God teaches. I'll tell you something, friend. If you live by what God wants you to live in this book, it'll be strict and straight enough for you without you having to make up sins. And I've heard people make up sins. I heard people make up scriptures. I heard a guy stand and testified one time in our church, and he says, I like that scripture. It says, united we stand, divided we fall. I looked at Dad and said, that wasn't a scripture, was it? No, it wasn't some famous saying, but anyway. But if you live by the word of God, you'll live straight, you'll live right. And God wants you to live right. And so there's a flood of ungodliness even in our world today. A flood of irresponsibility. Amen. Parents, kids, people need instruction. Preachers need instruction. Amen. And so, you and I, even with things in society don't look good today, but yet there's a judgment coming, but God has promised to take care of his people. And if you'll live for God and stay in the word, and like Enoch did, you can go on forward in faith. God will help you. Isaiah 59:19 says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a banner against him. And a banner or a standard was identification with a certain group. There was a banner over every one of the 12 tribes of Israel that identified them with one of 12 tribes. And so in New Testament time, I would say that you and I can look to the banner of the cross. For it stands and identifies us for who we are. We believe people that believe that Jesus died on the cross, poured out his soul into death for our sins. Not that he didn't stop there. He rose again from the dead and is able to give eternal life to whosoever will. And even though there's a flood of sin today, there is a flood of mercy and love coming from God that's able to save to the uttermost. Amen. To save, I don't care how wrong or how bad a person has been, they can be saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Yes, we're in a flood of immorality in our society. I'm told that kids at school take pictures of themselves nude and send it to their upper classmates trying to get attention. But I want to tell you something. It's not good. No, it's awful. It's wrong. It's sin. But there will be a surely time, there will be a time when God says it's enough. And I want to tell you, even though the enemy may come in like a flood, sin may come in like a flood, the cross is stronger, the power of God is greater. Greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. Hallelujah. You keep on living for God. You serve God. You stand for the truth. You live the truth. Amen. Just be a person of faith like Enoch was, and you'll have a testimony that pleases God. Amen. Enoch was translated to heaven. He's only one of two people that left this world without dying physically, Enoch and Elijah. Enoch was translated to heaven, and he—not a whole lot is said about him. He's believed to be one of the two witnesses in Revelation that we talked about last Wednesday night. But if we walk by faith, have a relationship with God, then we will have peace with God. We will be in his presence. We'll be taken into his presence as Enoch was. Amen. And then we will leave a testimony of faith. You've heard it many times. There's coming a time when, just as Enoch was taken out of this world, the church will be taken out of this world. Amen. Quoted it many times. I'm going to quote it again because I like it. And it's the truth. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, with a trumpet of God. The trumpet of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Because you see, just as Enoch was caught out, left this world, God took him. Elijah was taken out of the world, a whirlwind, a chariot of fire, took him out of this world into heaven. So God will take his church out one day. Amen. But until then, let's live a life of faith. Amen. Let's walk with God. Let's serve God no matter what. And let's don't be discouraged. God has eternal plans, eternal hope for you. He has eternal peace for you, eternal love, eternal joy, eternal fellowship with the Creator, the ends of the earth. You don't want to miss that. You cannot afford to miss what God has provided for us. Amen. You cannot afford to miss heaven. Don't miss heaven for the world. Amen.